Hello and welcome to We Are Marvel, where we explore all the corners of the Marvel Cinematic Multiverse, and we are the official podcast of the We Are Marvel Facebook group. Head over to Facebook and give them a follow, and while you're there, head over to our page, We Are Marvel Pod, and give us a follow too. I'm one of your hosts, my name is Jeremy.
I'm your other host, my name is Justin.
The Destroyer.
Yeah. Obviously.
Obviously. Thank you all for joining us. We appreciate it. We appreciate the continued support. It's awesome. I've had actually a couple friends reach out and say they're listening to certain episodes, and it's like, thank you. Like, seriously. Like, I tell them thank you, and I don't know if they understand like how thankful I really am. I hope they do. Yeah. I really am.
If they don't believe you, because, I mean, why would you? I guess. I thank you for listening, which should mean the world, honestly.
I think I should feel more offended if they believed you more than me. But either way, I guess. If the point comes across, I'll take it, but I'm slightly saddened. But no, seriously, thank you guys for listening. Whether you're my friend or a future friend, because you're all of our friends. Thank you guys.
Aww.
I know, that's beautiful. But as you can see from the title, we're talking about the latest movie. Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. It's finally here.
And I want to apologize ahead of time if I sound a little froggy. I've had a really baby shit cold for a week. Gross. And it's just, I heard it after I said it and it was bad. I meant it's a weak cold. It was like, I didn't even have a fever. And yet it has still found a way to ruin my week and make me sound like I've been talking for hours when I've just been sitting on my couch watching Harry Potter all day. So it's
not a bad way to spend the day.
Apologies, but the enthusiasm will shine through because I can't wait to talk about this movie.
Yes. Yeah, Justin's all about this one, which I'm excited about too. Mm-hmm. I mean, yes.
Good.
I was not expecting you to like it this much.
You're not now. You will be.
So I'm thrilled. But I mean, I guess it kind of gives away what kind of our thoughts are about it.
It's garbage.
But before, it was garbage, but I'm so excited about it.
Yeah.
But before
this, Howard the Duck.
So before we get into that, we're going to get into just some of the details that we always do.
Always. Obviously.
Yes.
But do we need to grab anything and settle into anywhere before we start what we're talking about?
I guess we are now. My question. I was thinking about doing this part and then grabbing that and settling it in. But we're going to now grab that Icarus, settle your little tushies in, because we're going to talk about Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. Still reeling from the loss of Gamora, Peter Quill rallies his team to defend the universe and one of their own. A mission that could mean the end of the Guardians. If not successful.
What?
Yeah, more or less that works out. Yeah, pretty good.
Basically, that is kind of what that is.
Yeah. So this is directed by James Gunn, also written by James Gunn. He's done a great job with these last three.
Yeah.
It is starring Chris Pratt, Zoe Saldana, Dave Bautista, Karen Gillan, Pom Clementif, Vin Diesel, Bradley Cooper, Sean Gunn, Chukwudi Iwuji, I apologize.
I don't know.
Will Poulter.
I don't know how to say his name, but he's great.
Yeah, he is. Will Poulter, Elizabeth Debicki, Maria Bakalova, and Sylvester Stallone.
What?
You heard it here. I guess really reprising his role.
I mean, he was in the last one, so.
Yeah. Right.
But he's back, and better than ever.
He is back.
We're about the same.
And release dates was actually April 22nd. 2023 in Disneyland Paris, but here in the United States it was May 5th. And so far, as of recording, which is Saturday about afternoon Pacific Standard Time, 120 million. I don't know how updated that is, but 120 million. I mean, not bad for a few days.
Yeah, with a budget of 250, I mean, it's almost halfway there in like 2 days.
Yeah,
3 days.
And it was great, so. And I think the more that gets out there, I think more people are going to go watch it. I feel like that's what a lot of people are doing these days is waiting for the reviews and then deciding, which I feel is backwards, but to each their own.
Yeah.
So go form your own opinion.
Right.
But yes, We're going to do just a little bit of non-spoilers, just kind of an overview of what we thought about it, maybe say a little bit of things that aren't spoiled, mm-hmm. and then we're going to jump into spoilers. We will give you a little heads up, though. So if you haven't watched this, stick around a little longer, and make sure you're paying attention so that you know when we go into spoilers, and then pause,
go watch the movie,
come back, play it on your way home, because you're so excited to hear our dumb voices.
Yes. I know I am.
Perfect. Well, Justin, what are your kind of spoiler-free thoughts on this movie?
I loved it. And the thing here is, like, I said this when I came out of theater. We saw this together, more or less. We mm-hmm. sat apart, but we were still together in spirit.
Oh, absolutely.
And I want to get... I have some recency bias, because, you know, it was last night.
Right.
So I'm all hooked on a feeling right now. So I don't want to jump the shark here, but this could be the best trilogy in comic book movie history.
Yeah.
Throwing it out there.
Yeah.
They really nailed the landing. And the thing that makes me... Because I've been thinking about this all day.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, the reason this is a big deal, if you're new to the show, is I'm a Captain America fan, true and true, and last week, or even just 2 days ago, I would have said the best comic book movie trilogy of all time, nay, one of the best trilogies of all time, is Captain America.
Right.
Not just because I'm biased, because I know I am, but because it is. But I think this, and I want to watch it again,
right.
I want to watch all three together, and see how it flows, but I think this could beat it. And the reason why I will continue to say it after thinking about it all day is with Captain America, it ended, but then his story didn't really end until Endgame.
Mm, okay.
And with this, like, if we never see the Guardians again, which I think we will see them again, but if we don't, I'd be satisfied with this ending.
Okay.
Whereas with Captain America, if we never saw him again after Civil War, I'd be going, wait, what?
Right.
Like, there's more to tell here. Like, right, I need to know what happens after he drops that shield. But with this, if this is it for the Guardians completely, I'm kind of okay with that.
Okay. That's fair. And honestly, when you said that last night, I was in shock. I was like, like, what are you talking about? Like, you have always and will always love Captain America and his trilogies. What do you, like...
Yeah.
I was so confused, but I didn't want to talk too much because I knew we would talk about it today. And, mm-hmm. Okay, and that's a great answer to that. You were completely right. If we never saw Cap again, like if those other movies, something happened, just, you know, Disney just blew up and we never got to see him again,
mm-hmm.
we would be left wanting to know what happens. But you're right. Yeah. With this Guardians, they do end it in a way that is satisfying. And they do leave it open for more. But
right, that's what I was about to say. Like, it ends, but it, in true comic fashion, like, it's over, but you could keep going.
Right. And, you're right. They nailed that. Absolutely. So, okay, because I have too been wondering, like, all night and day, how could he say that? Because the Cap movies are amazing. But
they
if are. You're looking at it from that perspective of what if that's all we had and got, does this work? And no, probably not, definitely not. But just because, like you said, the last one, we don't get an answer. But with the Guardians ones, yeah, they all tell an overarching story. They all connect to each other, and they end in a way that works. So,
and obviously, like, you need to have seen Infinity War and Endgame because, spoilers, Gamora died in Infinity War. That's a big deal.
Right.
Then she came back in Endgame. Another big deal. So, like, there is obviously that filler, but this third one gets to the benefit of happening after all that, and those characters surviving all of that.
Right. And
to now conclude their story on their own terms.
Yeah, but they do a good job of even explaining that. Like, if you only watch the Guardians movies, you mm-hmm. would know that there's more to this story, and you have a way of watching it, but you don't have to have watched it, because they do mm-hmm. a good enough job of explaining this isn't the same Gamora. In volume 2.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, you're right. They nailed this. James Gunn. Jeez, nice. I'm very excited
about what
he's planning to do over at the Distinguished Competition, as you put it. Mm-hmm. Slightly, I start to get worried, like, he's going to make things better. than Marvel is. But also, I'm like, no, I think Marvel would just then have that competition to just do even more. Yeah. And so I think it'd be amazing.
They need to raise their game. And that's what I'm hoping for. Like, Marvel has been winning the race in walking shoes for the last 10, 15 years.
Right.
And now James Gunn can bring this to the distinguished competition. And Marvel, I mean, a lot of people have been a little hit and miss on Marvel the last couple years.
Yeah, for sure.
And in some ways, I understand. Yeah. Love and Thunder is not great.
No.
Quantumania is good. I think it's the best Ant-Man movie, but it's not great. So now, maybe Kevin will, tighten up the ship and raise his game. Yeah. But I will say, James Gunn really did hit it out of the park. And what I was thinking about last night was how each movie is better than the last. I watched Volume 2 and finished it, right before I went to the theater. I live very close to the theater, so it wasn't a big deal. I got there and there was plenty of parking, so I was okay. Right. And I love Volume 2 more than 1. And I love 3 more than 2. Like, just the out-and-out emotion I felt throughout the entire movie, the near tears I was at every interval or so.
Yeah.
And the worry I had, because like in Civil War, like, you didn't really know if Cap was going to make it out. I remember my heart pounding in that final battle because I thought he might die.
Yeah.
And in this, I thought some of these guys might not make it out of this. Spoilers, no spoilers. Not going to say if anyone does or doesn't, but there are moments where you're like, are they going to make it out of this scene?
Right, yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
And it's quite worrisome. And he nailed it. And the filmmaking is better. There's a corridor scene that we'll get into detail in spoilers.
Yes.
That's amazing looking.
It is. Like,
it's so fucking cool.
Yeah.
It's might be the best thing he's done.
Yeah.
Visually.
Yeah.
It's just incredible.
As it was happening, I was saying the same thing. I was like, he has never done this before. This is great.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I was all for it. I would love more, but we're going to have to watch a different studio.
And that's something else that, yeah, hopefully.
Yeah.
And that's what kind of helped it also edge out Cap a little bit, because I still stand that Winter Soldier's the best Captain America movie. And I feel like it should progressively get better.
Right.
Civil War should be unquestionably better than Winter Soldier, which is a high bar.
Yeah.
But I think it was a high bar for Volume 2 to Volume 3, too, because Volume 2 is amazing.
Yeah.
So, and I think, again, he did it in spades.
Absolutely.
So, yeah. I love this movie. I don't see how it's not rated higher than it is. Like, this, Wakanda Forever, yeah, there's some lessers in the last couple years of Marvel, but they're also crushing it in ways they haven't in years. So, yeah. A+.
Absolutely. I think I got an idea of what I think. I think this movie was great. Had a great time with it. Like I said, he's done stuff that he hasn't done before, which I've loved. I'm sad he's gonna go, but I'm happy at the same time. It's one of the things where, I don't know, like a friend is going off, our coworker's going off for a new better job. Like, I'm happy for you over there, but it sucks here, which it does. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I guess we're going to get into some spoilers because I want to talk more about this movie and not have to worry about ruining anything for you guys. So if you have not watched this movie, please don't listen any longer. Go watch the movie first. Come back. We'd appreciate that. So yeah, we're going into spoilers. Spoilers, anyone that's just kind of listening to this. These are now spoilers. Yeah.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Spoilers.
Spoilers. So I don't have a big spoiler thing like you normally do.
I do.
Go ahead. I was going to go with,
I can't believe no one died.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Like, I had folding money on someone's going to die.
Yes.
And I was dead set it was going to be Drax.
Yeah,
and
I could see that.
I thought maybe Rocket.
Yeah, I didn't know at first, and then with it being Rocket getting shot like that, it's like, okay, yeah, this is it. Like, he will die, and then they will break apart, and we will get no more Guardians.
See, I thought the opposite. When I saw that Rocket got shot, I was like, so it's not going to be Rocket.
Oh, okay.
Because they're not going to do this whole thing, this entire movie, and then have him die at the end. Because that's stupid.
That's fair, yeah.
Like, to me, it was like, but honestly, I'm so glad they didn't.
Yeah, me too.
Because even just saying that out loud made me go, well, if he survived and then Drax died, it'd be like, well, that sucks. Like,
yeah.
I mean, I guess unless it was sacrificing himself to save Rocket, which they kind of teed up, you know, because they talk about how, like, worthless he is to the team.
Right, right.
And that could have been his, you know, defining moment to prove himself, yeah. You know, of value, I guess. But, yeah,
but he even got another way to do that, which was great.
Yeah. So, and it was better.
Yeah, yes, it was.
Yeah, I was just surprised because I feel like Dave Bautista won't come back.
Yeah, I think a lot of these people have been like, yeah, this was it for me. And I kept seeing like just because I didn't want to read any articles, but I'd see that headline like, you know, so-and-so won't come back. So-and-so won't come back for this. Like, okay, so someone died. He might have died. I don't know. Maybe someone else died. You know, it was just vague and trying to keep myself just second-guessing so that I don't spoil anything for myself.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I figured someone's dying. This sucks.
Yeah.
This is why we're not getting any more. I know it's also because James Gunn is leaving, and it was kind of his baby. But, yeah, no one died. And but they still broke apart, but it wasn't that sad. It was like
a graduation.
Yeah.
It was handled so well. I was quite surprised.
It really reminds me of how The Office finished. Like, they all went their separate ways. Everyone's still happy, but it's over. Like, and it's everyone's going to be okay. Like, it's okay that it's over. We can do this without losing people, you know?
And it's not necessarily over.
Yeah.
Which we can get to later, because I have a lot of questions about that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. Oh, man. What a movie. I'm glad you got a chance to explain why this was better than Cap. Because when you said that, I was like, who is this guy?
He got body snatched in the middle of the movie. I mean, and you know better than anybody. It's a tough call, and I hate to admit it. And it is tight. And like I said, I want to watch all three, give myself some space.
Yeah.
You know, watch all three in a row together, like I did with Cap. Mm. You know, because for a long time with Civil War, I struggled with it actually being a Captain America movie because it was so Avengers heavy.
Yeah.
But I eventually kind of came to terms with that in multiple viewings. I was like, no, it is Captain America driven, but it still falls short of Winter Soldier for me because that's very Cap driven.
Right.
And with this, like, it's the team, it's the Guardians. And like I said in the beginning, like, this ended. Captain America didn't end. It was an Iron Man 3 ending where I blew up all my suits and then next year I'm going to be in Avengers again with a bunch more suits.
Right.
So it didn't matter.
Right.
Like, thankfully, he didn't get the shield back in Infinity War. That was good. But it still had to get to Endgame for his story to actually end, whereas this, it's over.
Right.
Kind of.
Yeah. Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
We'll see. It's going to be tough to top, that's for sure.
Well, it's so weird. I mean, we're in spoilers. Doesn't matter if we jump around.
Yeah.
My issue is, obviously, we get the first stinger of the new team, which is Rocket.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen him referred to as King Groot, given that form. I have an article here. Let me pull this up real quick, because I don't remember everyone's name. And I'll try not to cough into the mic too much, sorry. Adam Warlock, obviously, which we'll get into him more. I liked him. Kraglin, he had a pretty good moment in this.
Yeah.
Cosmo the Space Dog was awesome.
Yeah, it was great.
King Groot. And then the little girl was a character called Phyla Vell. PHYLA-VELL. And this description, which is in an article on comicbookmovie.com, says, one of the children created by the High Evolutionary, who the Guardians rescue from his ship, is also part of Rocket's new team and identified as Phyla Vell. I assume that's in the credits, because they don't, unless they say it and I didn't hear it.
Right, yeah.
Known as Captain Marvel for a time, she's incredibly powerful and a hero who has a great deal of history as part of the cosmic side of the Marvel Universe. And this says, needless to say, we expect her to quickly mature and become an important character in future MCU stories. So not very descriptive, but you know, it's an it was an interesting ad.
Yeah.
And it's got to be her, because otherwise, why would you add just some random kid with powers?
Yeah.
From that group of kids.
Yeah, and it definitely looked like cosmic powers. As soon as I saw them, I was like, "Is this Captain Marvel powers? Is this, I can't think of Miss Marvel. There we go. That's the other person I'm trying to think of.
There you go.
Glad my daughter is listening to this. She'd be mad at me for not remembering.
Good.
Yeah. So it looked a lot like Miss Marvel's powers or Captain Marvel's powers. Like, yeah. So I was like, what is like, who is this? What's going on here? She definitely is not just no name extra person. You know, like this will be something. I just don't know what. And also, you forgot about Blurp. Blurp is a part of the team. How dare you?
Oh, the little, little thing. I don't even know. I forgot about that thing.
Space dog.
Yeah, yeah, the weird.
Yeah.
He's kind of like Morris from Shang-Chi, but with a face.
Right, yeah.
He looked like he could come from that realm.
Yeah.
But the thing that I was 100% expecting it to say, the Guardians of the Galaxy will return.
Right.
But then after the Star-Lord thing, which I thought was a great stinger.
Yeah.
And did you notice the Kevin Bacon
reference? I did. I got
reference. That was fucking awesome.
That was great.
It says Star-Lord will return.
Yeah.
And I don't understand that.
Like the Great Star-Lord?
Yeah, the Great Star-Lord or the something. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and me too.
It's the Legendary. The Legendary Star-Lord will return.
Right, yeah, and it's like,
I don't get what that means.
I don't either.
And I don't like it either. Because this is such a great ending for him. Like, you could keep going with him.
Yeah.
Obviously. But to me, him finally coming back to Earth and finally reuniting with his grandpa, to me, is the point of his story. Hmm. I mean, obviously, you can have the Wanderer and be like, I've spent my whole life basically in the stars. I got to get back there. Like, I took a break, spent some time on Earth. Love you. Maybe like his grandpa, like he said in the movie, is in his 90s, so, you know, he'll pass sooner than later. So maybe that's the thing where he's like, okay, I officially have nothing left here. Right. I want to go back. So like, you could do it.
Yeah.
But it just felt like such a cool moment for him to be like, okay, I'm going to settle back on Earth to end it.
Yeah.
So I was just surprised.
Yeah, no, that's fair. I mean, I don't know. Part of me is also like, you know, he's got these powers more or less that can't just be sidelined when he's this young, I guess. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I mean, Mantis thinks he's in his 50s, so maybe he's not doing that great. But yeah, so I guess part of me, I agree with you that, yeah, this would be a great ending for him, but I don't know, maybe a deeper part of me just wants them back, and that's why I'm like, I'm good if he comes back. Please come back.
And that's thing. I'm excited to see whatever they do with him, and I'm sure all of them, if they can pay enough money, will be back for like Secret Wars and shit. But right. I'm interested to see. There's so many sequels that have been set up over the last couple years that they haven't announced yet.
Right.
Like a Doctor Strange 3 and a Thor 5, and now a Guardians 4, or maybe a solo Star-Lord movie.
Yeah.
Who knows? I don't know. And I want to find out soon. Please. A special presentation would be kind of cool with him, or a TV show, I suppose.
Yeah, but for what?
I don't know.
Like, we've kind of seen his whole life. Like,
I know. That's why I wanted it to be over. Like,
that's fair. Yeah, we saw him as a boy get taken away. We heard about, you know, them kind of growing up. And we've kind of been with him ever since. And now he's on Earth. And yeah, so I don't know.
But anyway, we got to the end of the movie. Let's talk about the rest of it.
All right.
Because it's awesome.
Yeah. We're talking about spoilers. If you're here, you've watched this, so you know that there's a bunch of rocket flashbacks.
We literally just talked about the end of the movie. So.
Yeah. I know, right? That would suck.
If you haven't watched it yet, sorry.
Yeah. I guess you know what happens after. You don't really know what happened in it.
True. True. There's a lot of gut-wrenching stuff in it, that's for sure.
Which is kind of what I have on here that we'll talk about first, because I mean, I feel like that's the most important part, is Rocket's background and how he got to where he is, and just the flashbacks and all that. Because they were spread out throughout the whole movie. So I just want to keep them all in the same part here, and we'll talk about all those first. So yeah, we see how we knew he was experimenting on. We've heard about this already. And yeah, so we kind of see it. I mean, not super in depth, but I mean, you get a great idea.
You get the gist.
Yeah, for sure. So yeah, I mean, as a baby, like these teeny tiny little rockets, or sorry, not rockets, but raccoons.
He's a raccoon, which is an important part in this movie that I loved, by the way.
I did too. Yes. He accepts it and is, and like, he calls himself that. Oh, God, that was great. Ah, so good. But yeah, so you see the experiments by the high evolutionary. We see him that he gets put in a cage with other kind of experiment test animals that this asshole. Okay, the guy's an asshole. He really is. Like, so these other experiments, you got an otter in there with like robot arms. I think just the arms are robotic.
Which is Lila from the comics. It is a character from the books.
Lila.
And voiced by Linda Cardellini.
I was going to say.
Hawkeye's wife.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So Hawkeye is married to an otter.
Yes, a space otter with robot arms.
Agent 19. Yes. Jeez, she is busy.
And she was on ER and Scooby-Doo. Weird.
Obviously. You got the walrus named Teefs. I love it.
Which was funny.
It was. Yeah.
The rabbit's my favorite explaining of the name, though.
I will let you explain the rabbit's name of Floor.
Because I'm on the floor.
Yeah, I love it. Oh, man. It's kind of like even more gut-wrenching because it's like these are just innocent, you know, like young animals that don't know much. Like she calls herself Floor because she's on the floor. Like it's like an infant.
She also is like she has some problems. Like her mouth is like a clamp trap jaw metal thing.
Is it just a big old thing covering it because she'll bite your face off. I don't know either. None of them were ever aggressive,
they're all very sweet, which makes what happens to them even worse.
Yes.
It's just tough to watch. Like, every single flashback scene, I was like, this is fucking rough.
Yeah.
Like, and that's what the thing, like, with Civil War, I was, like, enthralled throughout the movie, but it wasn't until the end where my heart was pounding, like, oh my God, what's going to happen? In this, it was just the emotional devastation of every single flashback scene with Rocket was so gut-wrenchingly painful to watch.
Yeah.
In the best way. Like, it should be. Like, it's difficult to watch, but it should, like, this part of this movie is about animal torture and how horrible it is. Mm-hmm. It shouldn't be comfortable.
Yeah, no, yeah, that's true, yeah.
Like,
yeah, we shouldn't
watch
this and
be okay with this.
Yeah, it's not so bad.
Yeah, so,
it's terrible, yeah.
Yeah, and that's, like, I feel like some parents might not want their kids to watch this.
That's exactly what I was thinking watching this, yeah, because we're still running through these movies. I think we just got done with Civil War, which even that was, she was not a fan of Civil War because they were all fighting and mad at each other and all that, which I understand.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Sure.
But yeah, like this is, I was like, oh, boy. Because I wanted to watch them all to catch up to the Marvels.
Yeah.
And I don't know if we're going to be watching this one right away or
not.
Well,
you know, I mean, every parent do unto themselves. I'm not going to preach anything, but it's also an important message. I mean, this is the kind of stuff that kind of forms a child's perception of this is wrong. Don't do this.
Yeah. She knows that part, you know, so it's like, I don't need to show her
this. I'm just saying. Like,
no, you're right, but, yeah. You
know, I'm not trying to preach or get on a tight, like, I would have a hard time showing this to kids. I had a hard time watching it myself when I'm in my mid-30s. Yeah. Like, I'm afraid for my wife watching it because she cries every time something bad happens to animals and things. So, it's uncomfortable, but, I have a feeling some people are going to complain because it is uncomfortable.
Yeah, probably.
But that's the point.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And
good
it should
good
be.
Luck explaining it to those people.
No, I know, and that's I'm mentally preparing myself for having to make that argument at the internet in my head because I don't comment on things on the internet,
right?
Because it's just a death trap, and I'm not doing it. But I'll do it here. That's the point of this movie, and that's why I love the High Evolutionary so much. And I think he's probably the best villain the Guardians have faced.
Yeah, we were kind of having this
discussion
before.
Because he was menacing
as
shit.
Okay.
Yeah. I was terrified of him every time he was on screen. because he is, I mean, it's like hurting kids. Mm. If you're, you know, it's the Freddy Krueger of it all, which is one of my favorite horror villains of all time. Like, if you're that bad, you're bad. Right. If you're hurting animals, defenseless animals, you're a bad person. Like, ego sucks, and Ronan's a douchebag.
Yeah.
But the High Evolutionary is evil. Right. Like, and every time, and he does, I'm not going to try and pronounce his name. He's on Peacemaker season one as the, I'm not going to spoil the season, but he's in that and he's great. He's fantastic in this. And like I said, every scene he's in, he just crushes it. And yeah, he's menacing all the time and it's fantastic.
Yeah, he does do a great job of being just that crazy villain of, yeah, you don't know what he's going to do next. You don't know who he's going to go after next without just being a ridiculously just evil for no reason.
Yeah, he wasn't like cackling, mustache twirling.
Yes.
But he was at the same time.
Right.
But he did it well to the point where it's like, you're not supposed to get it. Like, he's that villain that you're not supposed to understand why they're doing what they're doing.
Right, and which like, no, I guess we do, we just don't, there's not the sense of, I kind of agree, you're just doing it wrong. Like, I understand his plan is to make everything perfect the way he thinks is perfect. Okay, I get it. I don't agree at all. Like just leave things the way they are. So that's, I guess, that's the kind of villain he is. Like, you have Thanos, where it's like, okay, I get it, you know, they just have to plan it, people are starving, yeah, we should do something about it. Not what your plan is.
Yeah.
But with this guy, it's not, I don't agree with, we should make things perfect. If you're just doing it wrong, it's like, no, just leave things the way they are.
Yeah. Like, there's nothing about this that you can, like, connect with. And that's, like, he's almost, and again, recency bias, he might be the most disturbing villain in the MCU.
Huh.
Okay. I mean, obviously Red Skull's a Nazi, so I'm not going to go there. Yeah. But you never, like, his whole, like you said with Thanos, like, Thanos is supposed to be, like, the end-all, be-all villain. Mm-hmm. But with even him, you go, I get it. I don't agree, but I get it. I don't get this guy.
Yeah.
This guy's nuts. Yeah. And in the best way, but there's nothing about what he's doing I agree with. And when he just completely obliterates Animal World, Counter-Earth, I think is what it's called. Yeah. Just because Quill's like, you know, you got like a walrus selling meth on the corner there. He's like, good point, Nuke.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if he was thinking of doing this already or if he was just like offended.
And so he had to,
you know what? You're right.
He had to have it at least somewhat planned just because these explosions were already like installed, however, you know.
Well, I feel like he had a failsafe. For sure. But, or maybe he was going to do it anyway, because he observes his stuff, and he was already setting up his next thing with all the kids.
Right.
So maybe he was going to scrap it anyway.
Yeah, and that's why he wanted Rocket, was because, hey, I'm going to scrap this and start over anyways. I need Rocket's intelligence. Which that was another thing that I loved, to kind of jump into another part of this, is I love that we got to see Rocket. Like, he's always just been the super intelligent raccoon. Mm. And it is because of what the High Evolutionary did to him, but it was still impressive, and it was cool to see this little tiny Rocket, because you did see him like take these little things here and there, and I didn't even put it together at first.
I didn't either.
Oh, he's taking things just because he wants things, you know, like he's just hoarding.
He's a raccoon. He hoards stuff. He takes stuff. Right. I didn't notice it until the last thing he took, when they were at the little computer screen, and he found out that he and his friends were going to be killed, and I saw him take the little thing.
Right.
Like, if he did it any other time, I didn't notice at all.
Right. Okay. I saw a couple more, maybe one. Okay. So I might have saw two total. But yeah, I loved it. I loved that he, all these little things, and they're just scattered around, and he just put it all together where it needed to go, and all that kind of stuff. It was great. I loved it. And I loved how it worked right away. Like, there wasn't I need to change this or change that. It just worked.
Yeah, when it worked on his, I was like, I 100% assumed it wasn't going to work on the others, and that's what was going to screw him.
Okay.
But no, it worked perfectly, and then it got worse.
I know, yeah. He, I mean, It's not surprising that he knew they'd try and escape, because of course they would. You're fucking terrible.
Yeah.
But it still sucked that he found it, yeah. found them and found, yeah, it just, it was weird. That also was so weird that it was brutal. A gun, though. It just, for me, I was like, really, a gun? Like, you got these other powers and these futuristic type things?
I don't think like he had normal. Those. I don't think he had those then.
Oh, okay.
I think after the attack, because you also saw, like, his face.
Yeah.
Like, I think after Rocket attacked him to escape, and after he, you know, killed everybody, which is fucking brutal.
Yeah.
Like, we shot Lila, I was like, oh, no.
Yeah.
And then they pan out, and they show that he got the other two. I was like, oh, my God, this just, But I think after he attacked him and destroyed his face, he upgraded himself. Because he didn't have the purple suit and stuff in the flashbacks, did he? I don't feel like he didn't. I feel like I'm almost positive different. I'm almost positive he was just normal him in like his lab suit and shit.
Okay.
And the whole purple suit thing with the head and the stretched out face and all that was after that. Like he, because like he wouldn't even touch them. Which I thought was an interesting and kind of cool character choice of, like, he doesn't go near, like, he's right there, but he's still calling people in to stop them and gather them.
Hmm. That's a good point. I mean, I noticed it, but I didn't really notice it, I guess.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't know.
He is so, yeah. He's so high above, like, he will not lower himself to handle these beings himself.
Right, right.
So he's going to call in his underlings to take care of, you know, sweep up this mess.
Right.
But I think when Rocket attacks him, because I don't, you know, like, he obviously didn't think that was going to happen.
Yeah.
And he certainly wouldn't win in that fight.
Yeah.
And I think that's when he upgraded himself and went, that's never happening again.
Okay.
And now I have these powers.
Okay. And then it did happen again, which I loved.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, God. Their fight with him was so cool.
That, yes.
Like, when he, obviously, the calling himself Rocket Raccoon was fantastic. We've been waiting for that for 3 movies and several cameos. But when he first, like, hit him, I wasn't expecting anyone else to be there. But then when Groot showed up, and then the next person showed up, and the next person, I was like, oh, this is fucking awesome.
Yeah, it was so cool. I loved it. Yeah.
It was like, it reminded, I don't know if anybody else has seen this, but it's like the ending of Death Proof.
That
Quentin Tarantino movie with Kurt Russell. So it's relevant. And the 3 girls just beat the shit out of him one by one. Like, one hits him, then he turns, and the next girl hits him, and then he turns, and next girl, like, it's like that.
Yeah.
And it was so fucking cool.
It was, yeah. I loved it. Yeah, it was not just cool to see him getting his ass beat, but it was the team coming together and coming back for Rocket and being there for Rocket. It was so cool on so many levels, and yeah, I loved it. Yeah, it was awesome. Okay, we made it through the terrible parts. I think the rest is not too bad. So, but we made it through that.
I do want to. Well, we're still on Rocket, though. I've something kind of occurred to me last night thinking about Nebula's reaction, because obviously when he's okay, he's saved. They get through it, and obviously it's in the trailers. Quill screaming like to save him on the operating table, which was gut-wrenching and fantastic too.
Yeah.
But when they call and he says that he's okay to everybody, and the relief and joy on everybody, and that Nebula starts to cry.
Did she really?
Was fantastic. Yeah.
I didn't even notice it. Oh, man. Yeah.
And it got me thinking, like, oh, they were the only ones that survived the snap. And when Carol brought her back with Tony, they're all they had.
Yeah.
And so they do have this sort of connection that doesn't really, like, it's talked about a little bit, but you also go, the first person Rocket asks for or wonders where they are is Nebula.
Right. That's a great point, yeah.
Oh,
I'm kind of sad. So I didn't fantastic. Even realize that in the time. Like, dang.
I didn't either, but I thought about it after the fact, and I was just like, oh, yeah, Like, they were the only Guardians left after the snap, so they're all they had for 5 years.
Yeah. Man.
Oh, that's so good.
Great stuff, man. Okay, should we move on?
Yeah.
I mean, we can just jump around. I don't know how we're going to handle the rest of this, but we'll just jump around here and there.
Yeah.
But
we've already touched on most of it, but we need to talk about Adam Warlock.
We will. For sure. I think we'll jump into, because I do want to point out the nowhere thing, just in case those that didn't watch the holiday special, like, you already know that if you watch that, but without that, then they are on Nowhere like they were in the comics. Mm-hmm. Like, Nowhere is now their home headquarters. Like, it's awesome. And by the way, I love the freaking suits that they're wearing. Gah. Just perfect.
Perfect.
Yes.
Finally.
They look so good. Like, I think the first shot is Quill, like, from behind, right? With the suit on?
Yeah, I think so.
And it was, like because I only read that one run of the comic. And, like, my mind immediately was like, this is that comic, like, on screen. Like, it looks so cool. Mm-hmm. And it was a long time. I don't remember if it was exactly right or not. But that is where my mind went immediately was, this is a comic on the big screen. It was so cool for me. Yes, they're on Nowhere. My point was that, essentially.
Yes. And the suits look great.
Yes. But, yeah, we finally get Adam Warlock. He was talked about in Volume 2. Definitely teased at the end. And honestly, for me, he was awesome, but I didn't get enough. I wanted so much more. And I get it. He's young and kind of dumb right now just because he's in as an infant, essentially. But yeah, I wanted more. Like that would be my only downside of this movie is we didn't get a lot of Adam Warlock with the amount of hype that we got for him coming. And things could have changed since then and all that, but yeah.
Sure. It's tough, and there's some, like, this is a long movie. It's almost 3 hours long.
Yeah, I didn't even...
And there's a lot to unpack.
Right.
So I agree to an extent, like, and if he was never coming back, I would agree more. The only thing that kind of saves me on it is that, and I was actually thinking of it when it happened, when Quill was floating out there doing a fake out death, I was like, the thing that needs to happen right now is Adam Warlock needs to save him.
Yep. I was thinking the same thing.
Because if he doesn't, that character doesn't matter at all. And thank God James Gunn is brilliant enough to do it, and he did, because I mean that's the arc of that character, is that he starts out evil against the Guardians and has to come back around and join the team. So from a bullet point perspective, he ticked all the boxes that I wanted him to. I just didn't care as much about him as I wanted to,
right?
I guess
that's all, because
he was so one-dimensional.
Yeah
He was he was almost annoying. Like, he was funny, which was good, but his just, every time he saw someone, it was like, I'm going to attack you. And it was just like, okay. And then they eventually made a joke out of it when he was about to do it, and then he passed out.
Yeah.
So it was like, they made the joke and got the joke and commentated on the joke.
Right.
So it made it better for me.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it is strange. It's almost like this is his introduction, and we'll care more about him next time.
Okay. Well, yeah, which is fair. It just, with all that hype, and I was so excited to get him, and it was like, they're doing the guy from We Are the Millers, like, what? And then you see him, and it's like, this will work. Let's do this. And
We Are the Millers. Yes.
And then, we got him at the beginning. It's like, okay, awesome. Like, he looks great. He's flying around, doing cool shit. And then it was like, oh, that's all, really. Yeah. He's here back, like you said, he gets his arc of, I'm the bad guy. Oh, you saved me, but I'm the bad guy. Like, maybe you're not my enemy after all.
And this guy who I'm supposedly working for just killed my quote-unquote mother.
Right.
Which was pretty cool in a, storytelling way.
Right.
Plus, she kind of sucked anyway, so it was kind of nice to see her get her comeuppance.
But yeah.
Yeah, like I said, I do agree with you to a point, because I think they could have done a little more with him.
Yeah.
But they also, like I said, did all the things that they needed to do with him.
Right.
To get him to where he needs to be. So it's like, it's really, like having an extra scoop of ice cream on top of the sundae. Like, I'm already full. So,
Yeah.
I love more ice cream. my favorite thing. But
you know what? It's exactly what it is. It's like a blizzard. You got a too big of a blizzard. I'm gonna save the rest. I'm just gonna put in the freezer. Have that later.
Yeah.
Although with the blizzard, it's not quite the same. But you get the analogy, everyone. Okay.
Yeah.
You're saving that treat for later, Volume 4.
And I think honestly, especially because it is almost 3 hours long, I'm almost kind of glad they didn't, because now they can devote a movie to him.
Oh, okay.
Like, Rocket's the leader of this new group, and we can give some more depth to this golden buffoon, and he can kind of, like, evaluate his life choices, how short a life he's had, in an actual movie onto itself, instead of tacking it on to saying goodbye to this team.
I wonder if James Gunn wasn't leaving, if this would be a different movie, if they would have been a more focused on Adam Warlock movie.
I feel like this was his last one anyway.
Oh, really?
Because remember, he got fired.
Yeah, that's true.
Before this started. And this was actually supposed to come out a long time ago. Like, it was supposed to be one of the first Phase 4 movies.
Okay.
But he got fired, went and did Suicide Squad, and then came back.
Right.
Which is why this also feels like a Phase 4 lost depression movie.
Hmm.
Instead of, you know, where we're at in Phase 5, which we don't even know yet.
Right.
So, I don't know. I feel like it might have been the last one anyway. But we'll never know.
No, yeah. And even if you asked him, I think, I don't know. He might, like, yeah, it might have been different, but he wouldn't know what the final story was, I don't think.
Yeah.
Okay, let's keep going, everyone. So we've talked about the High Evolutionary, how freaking terrible he is. Do you know anything about this Orgo Corp and the Orgo Scope and all that?
I've never heard of it.
No, okay.
I'm sure it is, but I don't know anything about it.
Okay. Yeah, it just looked like intestines. Like,
yeah.
That's my first thought. I definitely thought they were going to make some sort of joke. butt joke, poop joke, probe joke, something like that.
Kinda the way Drax got stuck in that whole thing.
I guess that's
a bit of a poop joke.
I mean that part was funny. It's like, yeah, Drax, you're freaking giant. Like, you can't even fit in a normal sized hole. Oh man.
Speaking of Drax, Nathan Fillion was great. Nathan Fillion was great.
He was, yeah. Let's talk about him before we get into Drax. Yeah, so I saw the names as the movie's going, and I saw Nathan Fillion, and didn't he also voice something in?
He was in the first one.
Was he in the first one?
He was the voice, and maybe the body, but at least the voice of the big blue alien that comes up on Peter and Rocket when they get to. The prison. I can't remember what it's called. Check out the new meat, and then he gets the Groot fingers up his nose. Okay. That's Nathan Fillion.
Oh, okay.
I don't remember if he's in Volume 2. I know originally he was going to play Simon Williams on some movie posters, who was Wonder Man.
Oh, okay.
And, like, when they go to Earth, they were going to show, you know, like, a movie theater with posters of Nathan Fillion as Wonder Man, Simon Williams in all of these Marvel movies, but that got cut out. Okay. So I don't know if he's in Volume 2 or not. Keep talking, I'll look.
You got it. Thanks. just another thing I was going to point out is that I like that he uses kind of the same actors in his movies. Like, he got the High Evolutionary, like you said, we're not going to try and say his name anymore. He was in Peacemaker.
His wife?
His wife, who was in this and Peacemaker, which I only recently found out that was his wife. Or did they just get married also?
They just got married a couple years ago.
Yeah. I don't know. There's probably more. But yeah, I mean, I love that he's doing that. It's very Quentin Tarantino-esque. And I love Quentin Tarantino. So.
I do too.
Yeah,
I'm not seeing him on there.
Okay. Well, then let's jump into Drax then. I like Drax's kind of, we can do that. We'll talk about everyone's kind of story arcs that they had in these, because they kind of all did. Starting with Drax. Yeah, he was normal, hilarious Drax. Just for no reason, rude to Mantis with the whole Argonaut. What are they called?
Zargnuts. Excuse me, Zargnuts.
Yeah. He offers
But Peter he's like one that with her in Volume 2, too.
Yeah. No, that's what I'm saying. Like, he's always just mean to her, and it's so... It's funny and weird, and it's like their thing.
But hilarious at the same time.
Yeah, it is. Because I think it was like that in the holiday special, too, right? Weren't they very...
Yeah.
They went off, and they were mean to each other. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I don't know why I really like that, like, jumped out to me. Like, he's like, I ran out. And he eats another one. It's like, God. Just right to her face.
And then I'll hop on the motorcycle. I'll take you back to the ship. Yeah. And then he just keeps going.
Yeah. But it is also funny that she falls for these things. It is like a very much big brother, little sister type thing. Like, you're my annoying little sister. You always want to hang out with me. So I'm just going to do these things just to annoy you because it'll amuse me. And that is exactly their relationship. And it's great. I'm all for it. But yes, Drax, he even gets called out for being this dumb guy, and which he is. He, throughout the movie, really, like the whole, even the metaphors thing, he gets told, like, you don't get them, and he tries, and they're not good at all, or if at all. And again, told towards the end, like, you're just this dumb guy, you're just here for strength. But he gets that, and I'm glad they made him forget that, because I think that would have sucked if he really... If he knew that they knew that I thought that about him.
Yeah.
But then at the end, to like be that guy that saves all the children because he can talk to them. Which again, it's weird that he just pulled that out of nowhere. And you could have also, I agreed. Like, you could have said that earlier. You could have saved us a lot of time.
It's also pointing of like, you didn't ask.
Yeah.
Like, you assumed I'm an idiot and I can't help, but I can.
You're right. It was probably better that they did it that way. Yeah. I get both sides, which is great. Like, and then for him to be the dad that all these children need is great. And I even love that he was dancing at the end after saying
that's been his thing. Yeah, that's true. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah,
but that has been his thing. Like, from the very beginning, it's his wife and daughter were killed by Ronan, and it's been his, he talks about it again in Volume 2 when he's with Mantis looking at the waters. Like, it's his arc, and the fact that he essentially found a way to be a dad again to all this giant, horde of kids is awesome. Like, it's so much better than him sacrificing himself for the team.
I loved it. Yeah. Yeah, and I really liked the dancing at the end, because you kind of... You don't care when it's your kid. You do the things you think other people would make fun of you or something for, because you know your kid won't.
Yeah.
And so I love that he did that, even though he called them out early on. You know, only idiots dance. And then it was perfect with the, the beat drop and all that. Of course it was.
Mm-hmm.
But I loved it. It was fun. It was a great way to end the movie. Yeah. Very fun. Like, everything worked out. We're all going to be okay. We might not be together, but we're going to be okay. Yeah, it was a great ending for Drax. Not really ending, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
All right, who do we want to talk about next?
Mantis seemed a little out of left field, but I also got it at the same time. Okay. Like, because Quill, we've already kind of talked about Quill, and he quits the Guardians, like, and you see, like, he goes back for the Zune, and... you go, fucking Star-Lord, of course he went back for the fucking scene. I didn't even realize that's what it was at first.
Oh, no?
And then they showed it in his hand when it was, floating out there, and I was like, of course that's what it was. And then when he explains he had already kind of decided, basically, that he was done.
Right.
And he was getting it for Rocket.
Right.
So that he could lead and move on. I also like that Rocket started really getting more into the music. Like, he was the one in charge of it.
Yeah, which was a nice great. Touch. Yeah. Yeah, because he was playing it from the beginning, I agree. I like that a lot, too.
But it felt like when Mantis was like, I'm going to quit, too, it was like, that's odd. But then when she kind of explained why, I was like, okay, I can see that. Like, you never really had a place with Ego, and then you just sort of jumped into this thing as a guardian, and now you want your own life. Like, okay, I get that.
Yeah.
It seems a little out of left field because they didn't really build to it at all.
Yeah.
But they also kind of did in the way that she was treated by everybody.
Right.
So Like, it worked.
It did, yes. Yes, I agree. It absolutely worked. Yeah, so I mean, we've touched on Rocket, where he's now going to be kind of leading the team, which great.
Which is awesome.
Yeah, it is. I love that he's come a long way. He was just this, yeah. I'm just a bounty hunter, essentially. Like, you're just looking for bounties and with Groot, and didn't want to help anyone or anything, he always seemed like he did. He was just very annoyed.
Didn't want to admit it.
Yes, very annoyed that he had to do it, but he would do it.
I mean, they kind of get, he has the Tony Stark arc, which I didn't mean to rhyme or refer to the arc reactor, but I did, and I will when I am. But without the sacrificing himself in Endgame. Like, he was a lone gunman, didn't want to work with anybody, he did his own thing, and then he just kind of ended up in this team, so he's just playing along, and then he becomes the leader of the team.
Yeah.
Which is kind of what Iron Man does.
Yeah, even becoming part of the team, he was annoyed about, because it was kind of, I feel like the team really formed when they all stood up in a circle like a bunch of jackasses, as he put it.
Yeah,
and he was very reluctant to do it, and
he was the first to be like, here we all just stand in a circle, a bunch of jackasses standing in a circle,
and now he's the leader of this jackass circle.
Yeah,
it was great. That would have been funny if that's, I don't know how they would have called back to that, but.
I'm not sure.
Yeah. It was great. I'm very happy for Rocket, which is...
I am too.
Yeah, which is awesome.
And it's nice because it's... And I was thinking about this last night. Like, it's the first character that's computer animated that's just voiced by Bradley Cooper. He could play that character for the rest of his life if he wanted to. And it wouldn't matter.
Yeah.
Like, so Rocket could stay around, and Groot, as part of the Guardians... for another 10 plus years, and you know, it's that the rest of the team can just rotate.
Yeah, that's true. All right, let's talk about Nebula next.
Okay.
I mean, she's had quite the arc already through these movies, which has been great.
For sure.
I
like that she really kind of, she embraced the team.
Yeah.
Like, she is a Guardian now, and she's kind of like Black Widow was in Endgame, where it's like, this is really kind of in Rockets, but it's like, it's my team, I'm the den mother, for lack of a better term, like, I'm watching over everybody, I'm keeping these idiots in line, like, she's kind of taken Gamora's spot, basically.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, and I love that she called them all family. Yeah, because Gamora calls her out on that, like, we're family. Like, so were they. It's like,
that's was a good
great.
Line.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've enjoyed her arc. She still seems angry all the time, but I mean, that's, you know, you hang out with your family that much, you will be pretty annoyed with them.
Yeah.
yeah, so they've been great. And I love that... it sounds like Rocket built her arm. I don't know how the hell he did that, but he did.
Hulk?
I'm trying to stop cussing. I feel like I've done quite a bit this episode, so I'm trying to cut it back. Sorry, children. But you shouldn't watch this movie anyways, okay?
Right. Or you should have. If your parents said that you should, then
do what you want. Yeah, so that was great. I like that, again, Rocket helping out his friends and family.
Mm-hmm.
He was probably reluctant to do it. He probably... like, did it all angrily with a sad face and was like, there, you're fixed. Kind of annoyed, probably. but
I don't know. It's interesting because this, like, from the get-go, Rocket was like the big man on campus, you know, surveying the town, making sure everything was going right, jamming out, making sure Peter didn't make too much of an ass of himself as he was, you know, like... he was already, and it was kind of a nice touch of, like, he's already kind of the leader.
Right.
And Peter's already kind of stepped back.
Right.
And by the end, they just made it official.
Yeah. Yeah, which was, that was great. Groot, I mean, he's still Groot. He's bigger and has, what, three more words to his vocabulary?
Well, I saw an article about this.
Oh, okay.
What James Gunn has said is that what happens at that last scene, the reason why we can understand what he's, or, you know, we hear different words is because we're actually understanding what he says.
Oh, I think, like, I love that even more.
Right? Because, yeah, that hit me and I was like, oh, that's interesting. But the idea of, like, Gamora finally starts understanding what he's saying at the end when they're talking, and now the audience has spent enough time with Groot that we understand what he's saying when he says, I am Groot.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like it. I think I like that more than Groot figured out a way to speak. I think they just call it common, right? What we can understand is just common.
Mm-hmm.
That's a common saying for that anyways. You know what
I'm saying? I understand.
Yes. Okay. I like that. I like that more than he just figured out how to say more words.
Yeah.
Nice. Thank you, James Gunn.
Right. And it means that he could just speak normally throughout the rest of the franchise.
Sorry, Vin Diesel. You're going to have to talk more.
Right.
Like, I don't think you're going to do it in every language now, because that was cool that you were doing that. It was three words. Sometimes four. I think you said we once, right?
Yeah.
So.
But now,
Yeah, now you've got more. are we leaving anyone out? I hope not. So we talked about Peter.
Gamora.
Yes, we are leaving Gamora out. I was not sure where her arc was going to go. I'm fine with the way it worked out. Like, because it towards the end there, you did see, like, she seemed to care about Peter more, and there was like a smile, or I don't remember what exactly it was now, but she was like smiling at him or very happy for him, maybe when he was brought back or something. But yeah, it looked like, oh, okay, she's coming around. Like, she's seeing it. She's seeing why she fell in love with Peter. But then she's gone, and it's like, I don't know, is it she was scared, didn't want to be that? She just really liked the Ravagers and the way they treat her? Because, I mean, she was like freaking welcome back. Like, she was missing for ages, and they were so happy to see her, which I get. Like, yeah, of
which
course
was
you
nice.
Want to go back to that. It was, yeah.
You didn't want her to come back, and they're just like, oh, you suck, but hey, welcome back, here's your spot, and let's just move on. Like, it was welcoming back to family. I'm glad. Like, I assumed this whole time that they were going to rekindle and be like, oh, this is why I fell in love with you, and they were going to walk off in the sunset together and all that shit, and I'm so glad that didn't happen.
Yeah.
Like, I wanted it to before I saw the movie.
Right.
Because, you know, you always want the happy ending. But seeing the movie, I'm so glad that they didn't.
Yeah.
And they still could, eventually. They could build to that again.
Yeah.
If they so choose. But it's so much more natural that by the end of it, she's just like, okay, I see it.
Right.
I see why it could have been. I'm not there, because I'm not the same Gamora, but I see where you're coming from.
Right.
Which was nice.
Yeah. And but I also did like that Peter, like, tried that approach. I was like, here, you're going to watch, you know, I'll tell you why, or I'm going to show you why. In the, I'm glad you get to see my charm for the first time again. Like, there's all these little things that I could see Peter doing and saying. Like, it was great. So, I agree. I like the way it worked out. Of course, the happy ending is great. But I think this still worked out. It kind of lets them separate, find themselves again where they are now. And who knows, maybe come back together.
Yeah.
Okay, now I think we've covered everyone, unless we want to talk about Adam, which we kind of already did anyways.
Yeah, we already did.
The Phyla? The new person?
Oh,
with the powers
Phyla
at the end.
Bell.
We don't really have an arc for her yet. Yeah. It does look like it's been a few years. She looks older than the other children. So I don't know how much of a time jump there is from where we ended the movie to the post credit, but
they all got fitted suits, so that's good. And Groot grew. So I mean, there's that.
There
has been some time.
For sure. I've enjoyed it.
Yeah, I did too. I loved it. Like, closing thoughts, best of the trilogy.
Yeah.
We need to see it again before I say it's the best trilogy. It's fantastic.
We did not talk about the corridor scene much more. Do we have any? I mean, do you have anything else you want to say? I mean, it was amazing. Like, all the
slow-mo
stuff.
Yeah, I know we saved it for spoilers, but there's not a lot to spoil other than who's in the scene.
Oh, okay.
But just the slow-mo of it all was fantastic. The way it was like an Avengers fight where they played off of each other and Rocket, you know, bouncing from place to place. And It looked amazing.
It did, yeah. And everyone got to use their strengths and the knives. Yeah, it was awesome. Like it looked almost like they were shooting in high def, and then this quarter scene mm-hmm. it was like 4K. Yeah. And it looked so much cleaner and smoother, and it was awesome. It was great. I loved it. I loved, like you said, the way they played off of each other, the way that it really looked like a team. Like, we've been doing this a while. Let's go do it again.
It's that kind of Avengers fighting together, playing off of each other moment. Mm-hmm. Like, it shows the team, like I said, like, this is the Guardians fighting together. And it was fantastic.
Yeah.
It showed just how much Gunn has grown as a filmmaker. Like, I can't think of anything he's done in any of the Guardians or Suicide Squad or anything else that has this level of craftsmanship in it. Mm-hmm. And it's just amazing. Yeah. Like, it's like we were talking about, was last week with Joe, about the difference between a movie and a film.
Right.
Like, this is filmmaking.
Yes.
Not movie making.
Yeah.
And it's incredible.
It was. All right, you wanna jump on any other topics, any other things here? I mean, I know this was kind of a different way of doing it, but I think it flowed away.
It worked.
Flowed pretty well. Oh, I do want to talk about Kraglin. I know we mentioned him. He had his moment, which, I loved. I loved that he was, from the beginning, like, he was still trying to do what, oh my gosh, can't think of his name now. Michael Rooker.
Yondu.
And I love seeing him, by the way. That was awesome.
Yeah, that was an unexpected cameo. I also have some other cameos. We got Howard the Duck again.
Yeah.
Which I was hoping for.
And just one little line. It was like four words maybe, but it was cool.
Just like in 2. Like, he's just on that Contraxia planet.
Right.
Sporting a new hairdo. We also got, I'm not going to be able to, it's the lead singer of the group from the holiday special.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
It's Bezermit Kitokolok. BZERMIKITOKOLOK.
Yeah, I'll leave it. I'm not even going to attempt it. Thank you.
I didn't notice he was there, but I did love him in the holiday special, and apparently he was at the poker table.
Okay.
The broker was there.
Oh, yeah. I did notice the broker,
which was from Guardians 1. That's the guy that Yondu tries to buy that bauble from and originally goes to sell the orb to.
Yep.
Yondu, obviously, which was awesome. I wasn't expecting it.
No.
At all.
Not at all. And it was great. It was just enough.
And then this one, his name is Steamy. Played by Stephen Blackheart. He was the guy in the first one who was at that, like, comms table on Nowhere that Drax put the knife up to his throat to contact Ronan.
Okay.
You remember that guy?
Not really.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll send it to you later. But he was there. He was like the co-pilot, flying Nowhere up close at the end, and he was helping, get people through. And I kept looking at him and hearing his voice, like, I know you from something.
Right.
And it's because he's that guy.
Okay.
He's awesome. In the first movie.
That's awesome.
And then obviously the original Guardians, like Stallone and Rosenbaum. It was a new Martin X. It wasn't Miley Cyrus this time. It was Tara Strong, who's Miss Minutes from Loki.
Oh, okay. Nice.
But, that's it.
All right. I don't think I finished the Kraglin story.
No, I interrupted you. Sorry.
Yeah, no, it was fine. It worked out. I love that he was still practicing, couldn't really do it, getting a little bit better. But then, we got the cameo of Yondu and Use Your Heart, and it was it was great because that's exactly what I think didn't he tell him that already?
He told Peter that in 2.
That's right, it was great then. It was great now, and he did, and he was amazing with it. And he wasn't perfect, but he was so much better. And that was awesome. It's a great little story.
It gave him,
for him.
I was starting to get almost disappointed with Kraglin in this movie because, like, he had the thing in the beginning with Cosmo, and I loved Cosmo in this, by the way. But And then they showed him again at the poker table, and I was like, oh yeah, he's in this movie, and he hasn't done anything, and now I don't really care about him. And then he kind of had his hero moment at the end, and I was like, that's nice.
Yeah.
Like, I know you're the director's brother, but for your character, like, that's kind of a nice moment that you were able to have.
Yes.
And hopefully now he'll be in it more, now that he's an actual guardian.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I would not mind that at all. I've enjoyed him. Yeah, throughout these movies, yeah, I've enjoyed him. He hasn't been overly pushed in our faces or anything like that, because, you know, like you said, you're the director's brother, but yeah. But now, whenever I see him, that's all I think of is Craglin. He was in an episode of The Good Doctor. I was like, hey, it's Craglin. Mm. So, yeah. Yeah, so it was kind of weird seeing him not in a Guardians movie. I was like, did James Gunn direct this or something? What's going on here? All right, well, that was Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. It's great. We enjoyed it. I think Justin made a great observation of this was a great way to end a trilogy of movies. So props to Justin.
Yeah, thanks.
I'll probably edit this out. Don't worry. I don't want anyone to hear what I'm giving you compliments.
But it is solid. It is so great. If you haven't seen it and you've made it this far, sorry, but yeah. Kudos, I guess.
I guess.
If you have seen it, go see it again.
Yes.
Give it more money because it deserves it, and I can't wait to see it again.
Yeah, go watch one, two, and then go watch this and let us know if that makes it even better than it already is. But if you guys want to get a hold of, actually, we'll say what we're going to be talking about next week because that kind of lines up a little bit better. So next episode is going to be, because of how this ended, it looks like we will be getting a Volume 4, or at least possibly. There's nothing official, right?
Nothing's official.
It looks like they could tee it up. We have the Guardians. They're already doing missions. So
we know that Star-Lord will return.
Right.
That has been said in the movie.
Yeah.
So
we're going to assume we're getting a Volume 4. We're going to talk about what we want to see in it, what we hope to see. And that'll be fun. So tune in next week for that. If you want to give us your opinions, actually, if you have any ideas for that, or if you want to tell us anything about this movie, definitely reach out. Go to the website, wearemarvelpod.com. That gives you links to everything. And our social medias, wearemarvelpod. You can just search for us there. Email us, wearemarvelpod@gmail.com. While you're on the website, go check out our merchandise page. There's a link on there for that. Go get yourself a shirt or a mug or stickers or something. And I think that's all we got for this week. Thank you all for joining us, listening in, the continued support. We really do appreciate it. We do this for fun, and we have fun, and we're glad that you are here for it too. Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, share it with your friends.
Please do.
And until next time, I've been Jeremy.
And I've been Justin.
Thanks for listening, everyone. Bye.
Bye.